the book of Proverbs, the 22nd chapter of the book of Proverbs. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. We're going to read but one verse of scripture, Proverbs 22, verse number 3. It says, "A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again today, thanking you for how good and wonderful and precious you are. Thank you for your goodness to the children of men. Thank you for loving us, providing salvation for us through thy wonderful Son and his shed blood. So once again today, Lord, we've come to the time for preaching. This preacher needs your power. I need your wisdom. I just ask, Lord, that you open our hearts to do what is necessary to be done in each one of our hearts today. Lord, that you will then receive the honor and the glory and the praise for all things. We thank you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. You may be seated. In this verse of scripture, it talks about a prudent man. The word there means crafty or cunning, but it means in the right way. A crafty man, a cunning man, in the right way. In other words, to have understanding. A prudent man has understanding. And in fact, he has practical wisdom. Wisdom that will practically help him live and do things in life that is proper and correct. He's a prudent man. Not only that, over in the book of Luke, the first chapter, it's translated wisdom. We also know it means quickness of apprehension. In other words, he's able to look at a situation, look it over, view it, and come to a decision that he needs to be careful about this, because the prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. And so in other words, he's quick in apprehending that which is not correct, that which will bring harm to him. Also, it speaks of consideration which precedes action. In other words, he thinks, he looks it over, he sees the picture, he sees whether it's going to be something that's going to harm him evilly, and so before he acts, he looks it over and applies wisdom to it. Not only that, it talks about to perceive, or to have knowledge, to have understanding. And this is the kind of man that we're talking about today, the prudent man. Notice also it says, the prudent man foreseeth. That means to be able to see before. He sees evil before it comes to him. He's able to look a situation over and says, how will that affect me? How will this harm me or help me? He's a prudent man. And he foresees. And then, of course, what is it he foresees? He foresees evil. See, whatever is evil in character, he sees that and he perceives that. What is useless, what is bad, what is destructing, what is injurious, what is morally evil, what is grievous, this man is able to look at it and foresee it. He has wisdom. And then the Bible says that the prudent man foreseeth evil, but he then hides himself. Hides himself from this evil. The word hideth there speaks of to hide by placing something around him. He hides himself. To conceal himself entirely from this evil. To cover so that no trace of it can be found. So what again he's saying is, here's the prudent man. He foresees evil, so he hides himself from it. Who is it he hides from this evil? Himself. He keeps himself from this evil. And oh, if we had that wisdom today, that we'd have some discernment to be able to look and see evil and hide ourselves from it, cover ourselves from it, protect ourselves from it before it ever has an opportunity to harm us. Now what I'm going to do today is try to go through the Bible and use some men who absolutely did that. They was able to foresee evil, and they hid themselves from it. And if you notice, the last part of that verse says, though, but the simple pass on and are punished. In other words, the simple person does not foresee evil. He just passes on anyway, going on doing what he wants to do, and because of that, he's punished. And we're also going to see the example of that here in the Bible. Go with me to the book of Genesis, please. The sixth chapter of the book of Genesis. Sixth chapter, verse number 5. It says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, but it repenteth me that I have made them. Now we find here that God looked down, and he saw the earth, and saw all the wickedness that men was doing. And he repented him, he says, that he had made them. God was going to do something about it. There was judgment coming because of the wickedness on this earth. Now you notice in verse number 8, it starts talking about Noah. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. If you notice here in those verses of Scripture, we find that Noah had found grace. And I want you to notice here that Noah is going to be one of these prudent men that foresees evil and hides himself. In just a few moments, we'll find out about that. But the Bible says he was a man out of his generation. He was a just man. He was a perfect man. In other words, he was mature in his generation. He was a godly man. And Noah walked with God. That's what made Noah a very prudent man, a man that had wisdom. He walked with God. And it says in verse 10, and Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth was also corrupted before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt from all flesh, had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Now you find out here that God told Noah, I'm going to destroy the earth. I'm going to destroy all men. I'm going to destroy the beast. I'm going to destroy all of those things. So we find a man here named Noah who had found grace in the eyes of the Lord, who had to make some decisions. Where am I going to stand? Am I going to hide from this evil? Am I going to protect myself from this evil? Or am I going to join the rest of it? Of course, we know what the story is, but he could have chosen the other way. Now, if you look in chapter 7, he says, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteousness before me in this generation. Verse number 7, he says, and Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. I'm going to go ahead and read verse number 21 out of there. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man. All in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the land, dry land, died. Now we find out that God did exactly what he was going to do, but you notice something wonderful there. Noah decided he was going to go in the opposite direction. Noah decided he was going to get on the ark. He was going to hide himself. He perceived of the evil that was coming his way. He foresaw it. He seen it. And he said, I'm going to hide myself from it. In fact, the Bible says in Hebrews 11, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. What Noah did was this. Noah said, look, this destruction is going to come. I see it. I foresee it. God has showed me it's going to come. And I'm going to do something about it. God told him to build an ark. He did what God said. He built an ark, and then he was wise enough to get on that ark. But not only that, it was also for the saving of his house. I do not understand anybody wanting to see their children and family go to hell. I really have trouble with it. I see people, I meet people all the time. You say, do you think they want their family to go to hell? Probably not if you would ask them. But all of their actions and all the things that they're leaving out of their life promotes the fact that their family is probably going to end up in hell. They refuse themselves to be saved. They refuse to get their family in the house of God where they can hear the preaching of the Word of God. And because of that, they are not foreseeing that evil that is coming. They just are passing on, and because of that are going to be punished. Noah did not do that. Noah came and hid himself in the ark of safety. And if you know your Bible, the ark there is a picture of Jesus Christ. It's a picture of Christ. The only way that Noah could be saved from that flood was to get in that ark. And Noah was wise enough and prudent enough that he foresaw the evil, the flood that was coming, and he went and hid himself and his family in the ark. And I say to you today, folks, you and I need to make sure that we're in the ark of safety. That's Jesus Christ. We need to be sure we're saved, born into the family of God, and also then do everything we can to get our family also in that ark. Noah was a wise man. Should not we be wise? You see, multitudes of those in that day, all the rest of them, but eight people, eight got on the ark, all the rest of them died. You know what they did? They passed on and was punished. They paid no attention to the preaching of the Word of God for probably close to 120 years of the building of the ark. They paid no attention to it. They wanted nothing to do with it. They just wanted to pass on, and because of that they were punished. They were destroyed. Every single one of them was destroyed, but Noah and his family. Now, Noah was a prudent man. I would say to you, dear folks, the thing you need to do is you need to be a prudent man. You need to have wisdom. You need to foresee the evil that is to come, not just looking at it for today, but to see what's going to come in the future. What's going to happen after you die? You need to be in the ark of safety, the Lord Jesus Christ. Go back with me now to Genesis, the 39th chapter, please. Of Genesis. I'm going to start reading at verse number 1. And wait a minute, I'm over in Exodus. Excuse me. That probably wouldn't go along with it. 39th chapter. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house. And all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and a well-favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass, as he spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. It came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. We're going to stop with the reading of the story there. But let me say to you, Joseph was a prudent man. Joseph could foresee the evil that would happen if he would listen to Potiphar's wife. He was wise enough to understand that not only would he be going against his master, but he would be sinning against God Almighty. He was wise enough to understand that that was not worth going against God Almighty, so he fled from the house. The Bible says he fled and left his garment. Joseph was a man here who absolutely was a prudent, a very wise man who foresee what would happen of the evil that was coming upon him, and he went and hid himself. He fled youthful lust. Now I'm saying to you today, folks, you and I need to have enough understanding to know and look at sin and realize sin is going to cause us trouble. I thought about Joseph many times, and I wondered if he had have sinned right here, we'd have probably never read about Joseph in the Bible. More than likely. If he had made a decision to do wrong right here, we certainly wouldn't have ever heard about the rest of the story. What I'm saying to you and I is we need to have enough understanding. We need to be a prudent person with wisdom in our life to foresee evil, understand what's coming down the road, and to flee from it and hide ourselves from it. Young people, remember that. When temptations come your way, flee from it. Flee youthful lust. Look at what it's going to do to you down the road. What's going to happen years down the road when you yield to that temptation now? Be a Joseph and simply say, "I'm not going to be a part of that." You see, Joseph was a man who was a prudent man. He foresaw what the evil was. He hid himself from it, and he then became one of the great men of the Bible. Let me give you an example real quickly of one who passed on and was punished. He also became a great man of the Bible, but oh, he lost so much. And that was a man called David. David yielded to the temptation. Yielded to the youthful lust. And because of that, paid for the rest of his life. You say, I read about David, and David became a great man of God after the very heart of God. He certainly did do that. And let me say to you, if you read through the Bible, you'll find out that the reason David did, because David was willing to repent and turn from his sin and get right with God and go on and serve God. Yes, he did, but he lost his family in the midst of it. See, what we're saying is you need to use wisdom. Young people, you need to care enough about your children and your grandchildren, even at this age when you have none, to care enough about what you do now, because it's going to affect your children and your grandchildren down the road. You may not understand that now. If you're not married, you may not understand that. But let me say to you, what you do now is going to affect your whole life and those who come up behind you. What some of you young couples out here now don't give a whole lot of thought to the future, and maybe you've just got little children, but one of these days you'll have grandchildren. And you'll have children that no longer are little babies. They'll grow up and they'll become teenagers. And they'll grow up and they'll get married. And what you do now is going to affect them for the rest of their life. You've got to understand. You've got to care enough about them now that you'll live right and do right and turn from sin and flee from sin and hide yourself in the Lord so that you won't have to do these things. So why? For the future. Joseph was one used of God to actually save the Israelites and his brothers and provide for his brothers, but he wouldn't have never been used of God like that had he yielded right here. You see, he was a prudent man. He had wisdom. He foresaw the evil that was going to come And he went and hid himself from it. So what I'm simply saying, folks, is listen, and hear what Joseph did. Listen, young people, and hear what Joseph did. Turn from those things. Don't walk in those things of evil. Flee from youthful lust and live for God and walk with God and serve God for the rest of your life. Not only that, in Exodus, the 9th chapter, please. Verse number 18. This is the story of Moses, and as he stands before Pharaoh, he says, "And behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as hath not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even unto now. Send therefore now, and gather thy cattle, and all that thou hast in the field, for upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field, and shall not be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them, and they shall die. He that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. He that regardeth not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field." You're familiar with this story, but we'll just kind of go over it. He said he's going to send such a horrible storm upon them. It's going to rain grievous hail down upon them. And he was going to kill people. He was going to kill their cattle. And he said the only way that you can save them is get them into the houses or get them in under shelter where that they'll be saved. And there was some of them that did that, some of them that did not believe that it was going to happen and just left their cattle out into the field and they was destroyed. Now Moses was talking to people who some of them would be prudent men, who would foresee the evil. And they would flee from it and go hide themselves as the word of God said to do to stay away from this evil. Look over also then verse 22 through verse 26 of that same chapter. He says, "And the Lord said, Moses, stretch forth thy hand toward heaven, and there may be hail in all the land of Egypt on man and upon beast and upon every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran along upon the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. So there was hail and fire mingled with the hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast, and hail smote every herb of the field, and brake every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hail." Now once again, we see that these people fled because of the fear of the Lord. They believed God, what God would do. Many of them did not do that. Many of them stayed right there and was absolutely destroyed. Their cattle was destroyed. I'm simply saying to you today is this. You're going to make decisions that's going to determine what's going to happen to you in the future. You know, there was a story in the book of Luke, the 16th chapter, the book of Luke, of a man called Lazarus and a rich man. We're all familiar with that. That story. Lazarus, although he had nothing physically, materially, had nothing, sat at the rich man's door gate and asked for food. He had sores from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. He had absolutely nothing as far as life was concerned, but all at once he died and things changed. He was carried into the bosom of Abraham, into the very presence of God, with all the joys of eternity before him. Why? Because he was a prudent man who could foresee the evil of hell, and he went and hid himself in God and got prepared for eternity. The rich man is an example of the other ones that don't. The rich man had everything he wanted. He lived sumptuously, the Bible says. And he had all of those things that he wanted. But let me say to you, that same day that Lazarus died, the rich man died. And the Bible said he opened up his eyes in hell. Amen. He was one of those that passed on and was punished. He paid no attention to the warnings. All through the Bible, you see warnings given to men. Back here, the story I just read, Moses gave warning to those people. Said there's going to be a storm come. Hail's going to come. I mean lightning's going to run across the ground. I mean you're not going to be able to escape it. You better get yourselves and your cattle into a place of safety and shelter. And many of them did and many of them did not. Though many of them just passed by and was punished. I'm saying to you today, God's saying to you, you better get ready when the storm comes. You better know Christ when that day comes when you're going to die and go into eternity. You're either going to go to heaven or you're going to go to hell, one or the other, and it's all going to be determined on whether you are ready to meet the Lord. What have you done? Have you been a prudent man? Have you saw the evil that is coming and have you fled from it and fled to Christ and been born again? I'm saying to you folks, we make that decision. People are making that decision every day. You young men back there I see, young ladies back through here, adults back through here, if you have not already made that decision, you'll make it today one way or another. You'll either say yes to Jesus Christ or you'll say no to Jesus Christ. Amen? And you ought to be prudent, don't you? Wouldn't it be good if people could look at you and say, that's a wise young man. That's a wise young lady. That person is wise enough to understand hell is coming and they flee from it and they flee to Christ. Amen? Wouldn't that be a great thing? Go with me also to the book of Exodus, the 11th chapter of the book of Exodus. Verse number 4. And Moses, verse number 4, Moses said, thus saith the Lord, about midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn to Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservants that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of the beast. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against man or beast, that he may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. If you notice here, once again, he says there's going to be a plague come upon the land of Egypt, and all of the firstborn is going to die. Well, what are we going to do about that? How can we flee? How can we turn from this? Look at chapter 12, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your account for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And he says also, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the house wherein they shall eat it. The instructions was given. He said, all right, the firstborn is going to die in all the land throughout the land of Egypt. But there's one way that you can protect your home. There's one way you can protect that firstborn. You go get a lamb without blemish. You get it. And that was a picture of Jesus Christ. And you kill that lamb. And you take that blood of that lamb and you put it around the doorpost over your doors and up the doors and over the top of the doorpost. You put that blood there. You see, and that'll protect him, you see. And so there was prudent men throughout the land of Israel that foresaw the evil that was coming. They know the night was coming when all the firstborn was going to die. And they went and fled and they hid themselves in their houses with the blood over the doorpost. You see, now here's what it says in verse 12 of chapter 12. And I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you as a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. See, what he said was, and listen, folk, listen, young folk. You've not been saved. You've not trusted Christ. You're not washed in the blood. And you gotta be washed in the blood of Jesus. You see, that happens when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. See, He's already died, shed His blood. It's there for you. But you've got to flee to Him. You've got to come to Him if you want safety. You want to be in safety in Christ. You've got to come to Him by faith, believing, trusting Jesus Christ as personal Savior. And that's when God washes you clean. See, your sins are washed. You see, taken care of. You're safe. You're a prudent person because you had enough wisdom to turn to God and flee to God and get saved, you see. And I say to you again, folks, you need to do that if you're not saved. Brother Bo Ackerman and I was out Thursday night. We had the great privilege of seeing three people come to Christ on Thursday night visitation. Oh, it's just wonderful. Some of the parents of our bus kids, Paige right down here. Paige, as a mommy and daddy, got saved. Paige got saved. Amen. And we had another mother got saved Thursday night. You know how they got saved? Listen to me. They come to Christ. They was willing to believe that they were sinners and they needed Jesus Christ to wash away their sin. You need to have your sins washed away. Amen? You see, and that's the only way you're going to ever come to safety. Let's read verse 21 of chapter 12. He said, and then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. Ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintels and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out at that door of his house until the morning. And the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your house to smite you. You see, if you're washed in the blood, you don't have to worry about anything. God will take you to heaven with you. When you die or when the rapture comes, he'll take you to heaven. Why? Because of the blood. He sees the blood. But you know what there was? There was many that passed on and was punished. They refused to go out and take that blood and put it around their doorpost. And because of that, the firstborn died. In fact, Pharaoh got so upset over this in verse number 29, and it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh. Pharaoh's own firstborn died, that sat on his throne, upon the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the cattle. Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. You know why they didn't put the blood around the doorpost? And you too won't escape unless you come to Christ. We don't take the literal blood of a lamb anymore and put it around our doorpost. Jesus has already done that. Jesus has already shed his blood. And all we need to do is come to Christ and trust in him for what Christ has done for us. But if you haven't trusted Jesus, let me assure you one thing. When your time comes, you'll not go to heaven. God won't pass over you. As far as giving you a place of safety, he won't do that. Why? Because the blood's not there. So I'm saying to you, you know what? You ought to be a prudent person this morning. You ought to have wisdom. You ought to be wise enough to simply say, you know what? I foresee the evil that's going to come upon me if I don't get saved. And because of that, I'm going to get saved this morning. I'm going to flee to Christ. I'm going to get washed in the blood. This is what he says in other places in the Bible. In Acts 20:28, he tells us that the church was purchased with his own blood. He tells us in Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. We're told over in Ephesians, the second chapter, 13th verse, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. We find in Colossians 1:20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross. We find in 1 Peter, 1 chapter 19, verse, redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You see, it's the blood. 1 John, 1 chapter says, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. You see, it's the blood of Jesus Christ that'll wash away your sins. Nothing else will. So what did they do? Those Israelites that was wise and prudent went out. They foresaw the evil. They got in their house. They put the blood around the top of the door and up down the side post of the door. And they went into their house and they stayed. They hid themselves under the blood. Now I'm simply saying to you, if you're here without Jesus Christ, there's never been a time in your life. I'm not talking about joining a church. I'm not talking about going to a church. I'm not even talking about going and getting baptized. Those are all good things, great things. But that won't get you to heaven. You must flee to Christ. You must come and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, believing that He's the Son of God, that He shed His blood for your sins, and that you're a sinner who needs to be forgiven. And let me just give you some good news. God will save you and wash you clean and hide you under the blood. Amen. Donna and I was talking, I think it was this morning, I can't remember, we was talking about, I said, well, I said, do you think Jason and Valerie are happy this morning, happy in the Lord? Do you think Jason thinks he's got a beautiful bride? She said, yeah, I think so. And I said, you know, I think probably more than likely even Valerie thinks he's handsome. And we was kidding about that, you know. And then she looked at me and she said, I wonder how Jesus would think about his bride. And I said, honey, because of the blood, he thinks we're pretty special. He sees us in perfection through the blood. Through the blood. Now, have you been washed in the blood? Can you say, Brother Ross, I'm saved today? There's been a time in my life when I've trusted Jesus Christ. I know for sure, personally, I put my faith and trust in Him. I've been saved. If you don't know that for sure, what a wonderful day this is. We're asking you to flee to the Lord and just ask Him to save you. We're going to have people standing right up here. There'll be people standing right up here. Brother Townsley, why don't you come too as Pastor Jerry comes too? I think Brother Gordon's gone this week. You come up here and stand. Be ready here. And there'll be people standing up here. They'll get people to help you to go through the Scriptures so you'll know how to be saved. Above all, God wants you saved this morning. Amen. So let's pray. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, again, thanking you today for your goodness, your kindness. And I pray, Father, there'll be prudent people here today, people who are wise, who will understand the wrath to come, and will flee to the Lord and will hide themselves in you. I pray for that today and ask you to do it. And we'll thank and praise you for it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.